Friends, good evening. Thank you for joining us to another lecture in our pre-chamber lecture series. Tonight, we're going to give continuity to that lecture we started last week on psychoastrology. But last week, we focused the conversation around the development of the personality. And it was very specific about the influence of the planets, specifically the planetary archetypes into the personality. Today, we are going to look a little further, because now that you know that the planets influence the personality, because the personality is an energetic vehicle, well, let's see how is it that we can make the most benefit out of all of these planetary influences, and we're going to tell you not only what the influence is, but on which day of the week it happens, and at what times of the day the influence is stronger. Because if you have this information on hand and you are planning crucial life events, if you're working on key projects, if you need to have those critical conversations with someone, now you are empowered to make use of these energies in the benefit of the most people. So let's start with a quote from Master Samael Aumbeor. And he tells us, "It has been written with flaming embers in the Book of Life that he who achieves the total elimination of the ego can change their zodiacal sign and its influences at will." We cannot negate the reality of the influences of the zodiac and how they control us, for as long as we have not realized the revolutionary psychological transformation within. It is important for us to change mentally and emotionally. Here is the summary of everything that we will be covering in the next 29 slides. And the first thing that we must say is, until we achieve a radical revolution of the consciousness, until we achieve a radical transformation, the archons of karma are going to continue sending us back based on the law of return, embracing the law of recurrence, and to satisfy all of those conditions that have been engraved in our electropsychic design, they will give us a specific zodiacal influence so that we can live our life to the best possible ability. And the only way that we can do to move beyond the archons of karma assigning us the zodiac is for us to achieve enough mastery that they can say, okay, at this level of mastery, now you are responsible for selecting the zodiac itself. And the master selects the zodiac and can modify the influences. So let's go and look back at our seven planets of alchemy. We have these seven planets, and these seven planets dictate the days of the week. We also know that each one of these planets has its own soul, its own archetype. And each archetype creates a specific influence. Last week, when we came together, we learned that the moon is ruled by Archangel Gabriel, and that Gabriel influences families and motherhood and the flows of liquid. And the day associated with the moon is Moon Day or Monday. Then we learned about Mercury, whose archetype is Archangel Raphael. And Raphael has everything to do with wisdom and intellection. And Mercury is associated with the planet, with the day Wednesday. In French, Mercury for Wednesday, in French is Mercredi. Those of you who speak French certainly can say it way better. Venus, whose soul is Archangel Uriel. Well, Uriel is associated with anything that has to do with affinity and love. And Venus, Vendredi, which is Friday, it's the day of the week. Then we have Sun, whose soul is Archangel Michael, Michael. Michael influences the heart. And here we see that the day of the Sun is, of course, Sunday. Then we have the day of Mars, Mars Day or Tuesday, ruled by the planet Mars and whose influence is Archangel Samael. And Samael has everything to do with action, with war, with activity. Then we have Jupiter, Jupiter is influenced by Archangel Zachariel, and Zachariel influences everything that has to do with our responsibility. Jupiter is associated with the day Jueves in Spanish, or Thursday. And then Saturn, of course, Saturn Day or Saturday is the day of Saturn, and is ruled by Archangel Orifiel, and Orifiel is the angel of death. So here we can see seven planets, seven influences, and then seven specific days of the week. How is it that we can use these days where the moon is influencing these moon days? Well, we can benefit from the forces of the moon, the influences of Gabriel, because the moon influences subconscious automation. If you want to, if you have noticed certain patterns in the way that your ego behaves and reacts, as you are deciphering those patterns, you can invoke the help of Archangel Gabriel so that he can help you better decipher all the intricacies that exist behind that ego and that you can see beyond the appearance of the thing. But the moon also influences fluids and, of course, the reproduction of the species. It has an influence over travels, over manual and practical arts, over businesses that are related to transactions of liquids or fluids. So on any given Monday, you have these influences of Gabriel. And if you are planning on travel, well, then you can ask for the help of Gabriel and his hierarchies of angels to guide you, to help you, to protect you as you are traveling. The same if you have a loved one that is traveling to either come visit you or to go and take care of any kind of business. In terms of the reproduction of the species, if you want to reach out to the help of Archangel Gabriel and his hierarchies of angels, which are angels of life and exist within the fourth dimension of nature, in the ethereal plane, well, Mondays are the best moment for you to invoke of these forces and ask for help on anything associated with reproduction. Then we have Archangel Raphael. And Raphael, who is the healing or the wisdom of God, well, he is the one behind anything that has to do with reasoning, rationale, intellection. As the archetype of Mercury, Raphael influences civil matters, litigation, the studies of law. It influences the intellect, medical science, healings. So now you know that on any given Wednesday, well, you can invoke the help of Archangel Raphael and his angels, and you can make the most of those forces if you need help on matters that have to do with lawyers and anything that has to do with taking a test, with assimilating new material, with understanding new concepts. Friday is influenced by Venus, and the archetype of Venus is Archangel Uriel. Uriel is the love of God, and in his influence, he dominates everything that has to do with love and affinity and magnetism. And love, its essence is that of beauty. Anything that has to do with beauty and aesthetics, Uriel has an influence over it. So if it's artistic, if it is creative imagination, Uriel and his angels can influence that. If there are dramas, if there are tragedies, if there are comedies in life, things that you need to learn how to navigate, things and you need to learn how to better understand what is happening with the reactions of the psychological aggregates involved so that you can comprehend them, we can invoke for the help of Uriel for that as well. Anything associated with matters of love, whether it's your boyfriend, your husband, your wife, dynamic with the children, with your parents, with your neighbors, Archangel Uriel and his angels can help us. And all matters pertaining to the home, Uriel can give us a hand. So you can ask for his intervention and the intervention of his angels on any given Friday. And Uriel will respond and will help you, of course, with the understanding that every time that we are asking for this help, that we must be ready to offer some payment, offer something in return. There is no need for us to be making any special kind of offering other than the diligence behind the work of comprehending and eliminating our defects. If we get there with our hands full of our sacrifice, yes, these great masters, they will help us, and they will help us according to the will of the law. But if we get there empty-handed, they might help us. But if we by now truly understand the principle of correspondence that says, as above, so below, then look around and acknowledge how often is it that you can get somewhere empty-handed and get everything that you're asking for. We have to bring in the element of sacrifice, and that sacrifice is a sacrifice that is internal in each and every one of us. Let's talk about the influence of the Son on Archangel Michael. Because Archangel Michael is whom like God. He is that maximum presence of the Creator. And the Son influences life, and it influences health. But the Son, just like everything in our solar system gravitates around the Sun, well, we see that governments and legal systems and organizations, they all gravitate around a leader. So he creates influence over leaders that exist within the government or leaders that exist within the industry, leaders of organizations, of clubs, of groups. Anyone who is in charge is certainly in charge because of the contribution of Archangel Michael and his hierarchies of solar angels. So we can use the day Sunday to invoke Michael and invoke his angels to ask for any resolution, for any help in health, in the conditions of life, or in the influence of a leader. But of course, this is not an influence where we are just looking for a leader to do what we want. This is an influence that can create the most benefit to all those who follow the leader in the results, the products that that organization is generating. The influence of Mars is on the real day Tuesday. And Mars, influenced by Archangel Samael, who is the justice of God, well, has influence over anything that is associated with willpower, with influence, with armies, with war, with surgeries, with forces, and forces that move within forces as well, and any matters related to struggles and the efforts associated to those struggles. So if you have struggles at home, struggles at work, if you see yourself in constant conflict, conflict not meaning quarrel or battle, but in a constant conflict because the things that you have embarked on doing are not generating the desired objectives that you seek to achieve, well, we can always invoke of the help of Archangel Samael and his angels of Mars. We can ask for their help, giving us strength in terms of the influence that we can exercise in others, as long as that influence contributes and is constructive and dignifying to the consciousness. We can ask these hierarchies of angels to help strengthen our willpower, to help us become more agile in the internal battle so that we can better comprehend our defects. We can ask of our Divine Mother to eliminate them. This is how we can invoke of Archangel Samael. But we cannot be exceedingly naive. If we are looking at the ability to develop our willpower, well, we can anticipate many tests to come in our day-to-day life that are going to be testing our willpower. And those tests will be tests that have to do with serenity, with patience, with tolerance. They are tests that will have to do with the safeguarding of our sexual energies and our lust. And not the safeguarding of our lust, but the watching of our lust so that we can safeguard our sexual creative energies. It is not that we will ask for this help And overnight, or in a matter of a few days, we will become the beacons of light for willpower and influence. Now, there will be tests, and the tests will continue to be repeated. So we not only must be conscious of what we're asking, we need to carry that consciousness through the next series of days so that we don't get caught in the thick of the thin things. And suddenly, when we're getting the test, we are complaining about why is it that it is happening to me when we have asked for it in the first place. Any given real day, Tuesday, we can invoke of the help of Archangel Samael and his hierarchies of angels. And you see here everything that we can ask for. Then there is Archangel Zachariel. And Zachariel is the memory of God. We spoke of his name in a more elaborate way last week when we said this is the great man who guards the well of the wisdom of God. Wow! This is the giant who guards that well of wisdom. And Zachariel influences riches and it influences poverty. It influences economical matters, whether those matters are in your favor or against you. Zachariel influences laws and rights, dignitaries, judges, religious leaders. Anything that concerns the law, Zachariel influences this. Now, this is great because we know that Archangel Raphael is associated with some of those civil matters too. So now we have 2 days in the week where we can ask for help if we really need it. But when we're working with Archangel Zachariel, we work on the real day, Thursday. So if you are struggling with economical, financial matters, if you would like to understand the real reason behind the struggles that you may be going through, then on a real day, Thursday, we can invoke Archangel Zachariel and his angels and ask for that wisdom. If we suddenly have won the lottery and now we are facing this unsurmountable amount of money, well, we know that there are many stories out there of people who can see their life transformed overnight by the lottery, but after a few weeks they are as poor or worse than what they were before winning the lottery. So if you would like to learn what to best do with those monies, if you would like to learn what to best do with the talents that you have been given, what to best do with the values, with your strengths, with all of those softer riches, we can invoke Zachariel and his angels. If you are looking at your spiritual poverty and you can see your psychological aggregates, well, certainly we can invoke Archangel Zachariel, and ask Zachariel to help awaken that internal judge of karma that exists inside each and every one of us. And he will nudge it, and he will help give you tests so that you can experience those manifestations. And of course, you will be tested so that you can demonstrate the right level of mastery dealing with those challenges. And last, we have Archangel Orifiel. Orifiel is the Ancient of Days, and he is the Angel of Death. Orifiel, being the soul of Saturn, is associated to the real day, Saturday. And Saturn influences the environment in which we live. Saturn influences our practical life. It is karma in action. Orifiel is the sword of justice. So anything that has to do with these subject matters, we can invoke Archangel Orifiel and his hierarchies of angels. Now, some people may say, oh my God, how am I going to invoke the angel of death? And there are some fears behind that. We invite you, if that happens to you, to stop for a second and consider that the way that these angels look is deliberate. This is a uniform that they are wearing for their particular job. Just like a doctor will wear scrubs, just like a fireman will wear his firefighter outfit. Well, the same thing happens with the angels of death. They are there because they need to provide the consciousness with a shock. And this type of garment, this attire, gives the consciousness part of the shock that the consciousness needs. But in reality, Samael tells us these are beautiful angels. They look like beautiful children. And of course, we should not be afraid of them. So we can invoke Archangel Orifiel and we can invoke of his angels to help us in any of these matters, including matters that are related to real estate, to housing, to lands, to jail, to death. So if you are looking, trying to land a real estate deal, remember, move always seeking to satisfy the will of the law. Don't try to force these things and ask for the guidance of Orifiel. That guidance can be in terms of contacting the right people, of preparing, of setting the right circumstances, the right causes, the right conditions, so that the right deal will materialize. And that way you don't precipitate into something that may become more of a hardship later. Let's not forget the words of Siddhartha Gautama, the Buddha, when he said, the greatest blessing that you may receive is not getting that thing that you wish for. So here we have the Archangel of Saturn and his angels that can help us in any one of these matters. But you have heard me say here, on the real day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, etc. And that is because the real sequence of days at some point was changed in the calendar that we are enjoying nowadays. The real sequence of days is Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. This is the real sequence of days. In our calendars today, we see that the week starts on Sunday, and it goes Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And we have taken that to be the right sequence. And it is for all practical purposes and matters of daily business. But when it comes to esoteric matters, we cannot rely on the sequence of the current calendar. We have to rely on the real sequence of the days. So the calendar day Sunday today is really the day of the moon. It is Monday. On the calendar Monday, it is really Wednesday, a day of Mercury. In the calendar day Tuesday, it is really a day of Venus. It is Friday. On the calendar day Wednesday, it is really a day of the sun. It is Sunday. On the calendar day Thursday, it is really a day of Mars. Tuesday. On the calendar day Friday, it is really a day of Jupiter. It is Thursday. The only day that did not change was the seventh day. Saturday remains Saturday in the current day, in the current calendar, and in the real sequence of days. And dear friends, you must learn this. You can memorize this. The real sequence is Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. You must remember this. And you must remember this, well, number one, because you want to make sure that you are working with the right archangel on the right day so that you can make the most of that influence. But you also need to understand the specific time of the day where that influence is the strongest. Let's look at the 24-hour period divided here in four quadrants. Notice that if we start at the very bottom, that is midnight. And as we move towards the left and up, we see 6 in the morning, then we see noontime, then we see 6 in the evening, all the way up to midnight that leads to the next day. So we look at our calendar, and in our calendar, we're looking at Sunday. But we already know that is what the calendar is saying. We know that the day that the calendar calls Sunday is in reality a day of the moon. So this is Monday. The strongest influence of Archangel Gabriel. Hold on a second. Let's just say this. On that Monday, on that real day Monday, the Archangel of Gabriel is the strongest. And it is the strongest throughout the whole day. But there is a particular moment of the day where there is the peak of the influence. And that time is from midnight, from the moment the clock strikes midnight, all the way up to 6 in the morning. That is the strongest influence that Gabriel has in his Monday. And this is phenomenal, that it is exactly at this time. Because when you have an opportunity to wake up to make a petition, when you wake up at something around 4 in the morning, assuming that you are sleeping your 9 hours every day, so you're interrupting those 9 hours by waking up at 4 in the morning, it is between 3 and 4 in the morning that the pineal gland is the most active. There are studies that have demonstrated the existence of some piezoelectric crystals in the pineal gland. Piezoelectric means that these are crystals that when they vibrate, they generate electricity. And by now we all know that every electric flow comes together with a magnetic field. So if the pineal gland is most active between 3 and 4 in the morning, meaning that it is generating the highest concentration, the highest release of melatonin. If we know that the pineal gland corresponds with our sexual creative organs, and we know that by chanting mantras, we can induce vibrations that increase the electromagnetic field within our pineal gland. And on top of that, we know that the pineal gland has transducive properties, similar to the antennas in the old TVs, that they are able to detect signals and generate images. Then it is between 3 and 4 in the morning that if you wake up and you meditate, if you chant mantras, that you get the most benefit from that activity. And you're doing it at the time that the archangel has the strongest influence in the day. So things may be revealed to you in vision. You may be able to see with the eye of intuition, to know the reason, the significance of things without even having to rely on your intellect. This is something exceedingly powerful, and it happens between midnight and 6 in the morning. But notice what happens. That is the strongest influence, and yes, it is real day Monday. Gabriel influences the day, so anything that has to do with liquids and reproduction of the species, etc., yeah, it is very well influenced. But between 6 in the morning and noontime, notice that we see the influence of Raphael. Raphael is supposed to be on the next day. But now, we have the influence of Gabriel, and we have the influence of Raphael. And Raphael has everything to do with law, with intellect, with reason. What a great time to learn about any particular businesses, about any transactions, any negotiations. Between noontime and sunset, 6 p.m., we have the influence of Uriel. And Uriel is love and affinity. And then between 6 p.m. and midnight, we see the influence of Archangel Michael, which is the sun. So dignitaries, leaders, etc., etc. This is beautiful. As the clock reaches midnight, there is a shift in the influence of all of these archangels. Look at the screen. Because as we go from the real day Monday, this is the astrological, the calendar Sunday. As we go into calendar Monday, which is the real day Wednesday, notice then the influence of Raphael, now very strong between midnight and 6 in the morning. Followed by the influence of Uriel between 6 in the morning and noontime. Followed by the influence of Michael between noontime and sunset, 6 p.m. And then, now at night, here we see the influence of Archangel Samael between 6 p.m. and midnight. And so it continues to happen throughout the week. We see that these periods of 6 hours are governed by each one of these archangels, with the greatest influence that day of the archangel who is in charge. This is phenomenal. If you are looking at comprehending certain defects, Let's create this so that you can see the practical application. If you are seeking to comprehend some of these psychological aggregates, if you are looking to truly understand the structure, the transactions of your ego, how it affects your thoughts, your sentiments, how your body is responding physically in actions, and physically, internally, with the reactions and the signals that the brain is sending, you can wake up early that morning and you can ask Archangel Raphael for that help. The moment you ask Raphael for that help and you start your day, notice that the immediate influence is that of Archangel Uriel. And Uriel is love, affinity, magnetism. So whatever you have been asking to understand, Uriel is going to come running and he's going to start creating those magnetic connections to make sure that those values, the positive and the negative ones, meaning your psychological aggregates, connect with other aggregates that will come to help and contribute to what Raphael is already helping. Then you will see that you will have to exercise some degree of leadership. As the day is going by, then we have the influence of Archangel Michael. And we know that Michael influences leaders, dignitaries. And in your life, you are the leader. You are the one master crafter of your great work. And you will see some influences. These influences could come through people. These could be organizational leaders. They could be friends in high places. They could be friends in high places, not in organizations, but in terms of their own spiritual work. And they can help you. And you will see symbols. You will get keywords. And at night, as you are ready to retreat for your day and you are ready to engage in the exercise of retrospection, as you revisit everything that happened during the day and you are seeking to exercise that comprehension, you can then see the influences of Archangel Samael. And when it comes to transmutation of our creative waters, when it comes to giving the necessary battle to that ego, to applying the necessary willpower, controlling sensations and actions during the super dynamic of love, those Archangels of Samael will help you. And this is all happening on a real day Wednesday. So there is plenty of practical application that you can intuitively deduct. But of course, this is something that you will have to meditate on. This is the way that the day is split. Notice in quadrants of 6 hours, and we see the influence of the archangels in their rightful sequence. We mention here the four elements. And we mention these four elements because the four elements are associated with specific abilities and faculties of those truly sincere practitioners. Notice that the four elements are disguised here because these images are mainly showing four of the 12 apostles. On the left, we have Apostle John. Apostle John gives the gospel of the word. We have Apostle Matthew. We have Apostle Mark. And then we have Luke. But notice that on their feet, there are specific creatures. With John, we see an eagle. So we already know that John is associated with the wisdom of air. With Matthew, we see an angel. This is a symbol of water, the transmuted waters, the creative waters. We see that Mark, on his feet, there is a lion. That is a symbol of fire. And with Luke, there is an oxen or a bull. There is a difference between either one, between one and the other, but at this moment, the difference eludes me. This is a symbol of the element of earth. Anything associated with air has to do with your ability to exercise quick thinking. And quick thinking is completely necessary when we are observing our reactions and when we are observing our transactions with others. quick thinking is absolutely necessary, because as I was speaking with one of our instructors today, conversation led us into the topic of telepathy and how is it that people enjoy of sparks and of telepathy at different times of the week, at different times of the day, and many times throughout their life. And there are times that students feel that they are thinking certain things when their thoughts don't even belong to them. These are thoughts that they perceive telepathically, and these are thoughts that can belong to other disincarnate psychological aggregates that they roam around us everywhere that we go. Because these egos attract and repel each other based on the universal law of magnetism. Sometimes these aggregates will come close enough that telepathically you will be able to perceive what they are thinking. And it is likely that at some point, well, it is possible that at some point you have had thoughts where you have heard someone or something that speaks to you as in third person. It says, hey, Rick, don't do that. That's an example. You see, these are usually the thoughts of other aggregates. And we need to learn to discern when these things belong to us and when they belong to others. Because many students, well, they will say, darkness, repent from me and walk away. But they may say that, but their level of consciousness about what they are saying is very limited. It is a knowledge that is entirely intellectual, that has not been integrated yet. And they tend to think, well, yes, this darkness, these are my egos and my anger, etc., etc. Yes, but that is still too superficial. As energetic beings, these sources of energy, these condensed forms of energy exist everywhere around us. And we must learn to discern what belongs to us and what does not, so that we can respond accordingly. For example, one of these aggregates invites you to, let's say, hurt yourself. When we are quick thinking, you will understand, of course, that your consciousness will not be asking you to do that. That any great master is not interested at all in seeing you get physically hurt, in mutilating your body. Of course not, because this is the body that we have for the great work. So the moment that your quickness of thought detects that, what would allow you to center yourself in the consciousness, which is that one thing that we have incarnated from the ego, and to clearly tell that aggregate, go hurt yourself. Certainly you say something like that, those aggregates tend to go away. And they don't come back. But this is an example. You can clearly state to them, you don't have to be here. They're here, no contracts with you. You have nothing to do here, so just keep moving. Just go. And they will go. There's no need to just come with the heavy artillery of conjurations and see yourself in your mind fighting demons. No. There are many elements of fanaticism that have to do with that. But that quickness of thought allows you to center yourself in the consciousness and say, no, don't be saying that. Just get out. Go. And they will go. You see, this is important. Here we have the element of water. That is truly important for us because just like water, we need to learn to conform to the circumstances. We need to assume the shape of the recipient in which water is poured. And that water, well, that could be a symbol of circumstances, difficulties, tests. Rather than fighting it and putting objections, it is easier to adapt. And if we are in a condition of quick thinking and flexible, adaptable, then we have no reason at all to be stressed. And then we can handle the circumstances. Then we can dominate that element of fire that Mark is showing us there. Then we don't have to be reacting, but rather we can become observant of that fire and use that fire in ways that are constructive. So rather than let it burn us and consume us and burn everything and anyone around us, bringing hurt and suffering, we can then take that fire and steal it from that psychological trainer. And as energy, just steal it from the psychological trainer and use it for our own spiritual practice. And when it comes to that oxen, that ball right there, as a symbol of earth, it speaks of emotional stability. And we need that. So just imagine the degree of empowerment that you are receiving when you can integrate this wisdom of the four elements. And on top of that, you know exactly the day of the week, the influence of the archangel at specific times of the day. When you ask your innermost for guidance, when you invoke Archangel Raphael to unveil for you the wisdom behind these planetary influences, suddenly you have at your disposal cosmic energies that can help you in your marriage, in your home, with your family, at work, but not help you for the sake of satisfying your selfish desires. Help you in ways that you can help bring benefit, happiness, light, wisdom to all those around you. But let us tell you this. For all of this to work, you have to safeguard of your creative energies. Suddenly, you have accumulated enough merits in your heart to enjoy of all of this wisdom and all of these benefits. And then you will start basking in that false sense of security. And you let yourself fall. You lose all this. And you have to start all over again. So there is always something at stake. And it is important that we are always bringing in our hands full with the product of our sacrifice. Now, we have spoken about the influence of the planets. Let us tell you real quick about the zodiacal influences as well. Because yes, we're influenced by cosmic energies. We're influenced by the sunspots when they're happening. We're influenced by the energies of these planetary archetypes. But there are constellations out there, of which you were born under the direct influence of one of them, but they are influencing us. And if you're going to be having transactions, relationships with people from other zodiac signs, now imagine that you understand how their zodiac influences them so that you can help them also navigate through their difficult moments. So that you can then bring in the people with the strongest skill sets to those works that you are seeking to embark on to bring benefit to others. Friends, I'm telling you, the amount of wisdom that exists behind all of this is unbelievable. And it can transform your life and so many others. So let's look at the natives of Aries. Aries rules the head, and Aries, well, it's in the house of Mars. You will notice that the natives of Aries are usually not happy in the matters of love. And that is because they are very easy to anger. And this leads to separations. The natives of Aries, they have this very strong, powerful fire of Aries. But they need to learn to dominate this fire. Because this is a fire that can build them and turn them into luminaries of humanity. Or they can use this fire and burn everything and anyone around them. So the natives of Aries must eliminate anger. Let me tell you this. If you look at someone from Aries, you will see that they will tend to be the friendliest people. And they will be making fun of things and jokes, but that is just a way of them to hide this very destructive anger. If you notice those traits, someone who is exceedingly happy, someone who is always joking, that is a nice way to mask a bigger problem. And now that you know this, you can help them. You can be more tolerant. They tend to have good relations with those of Libra. Those people from Aries and Libra who come together in marriage, the love between them is profound and strong. It is powerful because Aries is fire and Libra is air, and Libra can live in that fire. But also, the natives of Libra can bring a lot of torment into those of Aries. That is very true. The natives of Aries are very independent. And even though they're so independent, they have a tendency to really like the military environment that does not encourage independency at all. And the lower aspect of Aries is very proudful. They're very ambitious. And they have this crazy courageousness about them where they think that they can take over anything in the world. Sometimes they become victims of their own pride. But these are the natives of Aries. Then we have the natives of Taurus. Aries rules the head, Taurus the larynx, house of Venus. The larynx is a sexual creative organ as well, after all. The all creates with the power of the word. The natives of Taurus, hard workers, very hard workers, friends that are so easygoing, but when they get angry, their anger is that of a raging bull. They can be very destructive as well. Natives of Taurus, they love music. They love dancing. They love beauty. They are reserved, sensible. They are slow to anger. But pushing them over the edge is a mistake. The mediocre type of Taurus. Well, these are people who are egotistical. They are gluttons, irates, prideful. But the superior type of Taurus, they love music, classical music. They love working, sacrificing for humanity. They are very intelligent, faithful, sincere. They are tremendous, tremendous friends. Then we see the natives of Gemini. Gemini is house of Mercury. So now you can imagine Mercury, intellect, reason. The natives of Gemini have a very strong willpower and they love traveling. Gemini is a symbol of air. So those symbols of air, Aquarius, Libra, Gemini, they love to be traveling. Just like the wind, they don't like standing still. But when it comes to the natives of Gemini, their lives are a mix of successes and failures. They tend to be very intelligent, but within their reasoning, they are also easy to anger. And they tend to want to resolve everything just using their intellect. And one thing we have seen is that the intellect knows nothing of the matters of the heart. So this is why we can see successes and failures. Samael says, it is very common to see dualism in personality in the natives of Gemini. And of course, this brings problems. Because today, they are great friends, and for some reason, tomorrow, they're angry. They don't really want to see you. So if you notice this in the natives of Gemini, just be very patient. Because just like the swing of the pendulum, today they love you, tomorrow they hate you, later on, they will love you again. Then we see the natives of Cancer. Cancer is house of the moon. Here we see the house of the moon. And, of course, the moon influences reproductions. The natives of Cancer are people who are very peaceful. But also, like all the previous signs, they can fall into deep states of anger. They have a good natural tendency for the manual arts, and they tend to be very sensible, with a character that is influenced by the moon. So that means that the faces of the moon are changing, so does their character. They may be more aggressive in those nights of the full moon. They may be more tame in those nights of the new moon. But one thing is for sure on the natives of Cancer, they have an amazing imagination. And when that imagination becomes subjective, they can truly see. They're also very romantic, very affectionate. But the mediocre type of Cancer easily submerges in those passions. And, well, Cancer being influenced by the element of water, if they fall into those passions and the abuse of their sexual creative energies, that brings them a lot of suffering in life. Then we have the natives of Leo. Leo, house of the sun, and of course it rules the heart. The natives of Leo are energetic and they are very kind. They are very formal, very respectful. They're mystical, but they're also very authoritative. They have a tendency to get angry, so they must learn to dominate this defect. They're courageous, they're noble, they're very consistent. And throughout their lives, they see a lot of suffering. A lot of suffering. They tend to have accidents in their hands, in their arms, but they are also very intuitive. If you have a friend called Leo, and somehow he tells you, I feel that this can happen, He may be seeing and perceiving things that you may not be able to see. So give yourself an opportunity. Don't reject it, and listen with the intent to learn. Now, the mediocre type of Leo, these are people who become tyrants. This authoritative attribute of them, they make them abusive. They can be unfaithful. But they can also, because Leo influences the heart, the mediocre type becomes exceedingly sentimental. Sometimes they trust their abilities too much. And when they do that, they tend to bite more than what they can chew. And they can get themselves into trouble. Then we see the natives of Virgo. Virgo rules the abdomen. And Virgo, well, here we see reasoning. They have a strong analytical capability. They tend to think way too much, to be nourishing problems in their mind and not letting things go. Oh, that's hard. But the natives of Virgo, they are really good for things that have to do with science, with medicine, as teachers, psychiatrists. Phenomenal in those particular vocations. But one thing that happens to the natives of Virgo is that Venus is not present. And because of that, they suffer tremendously in love. They go through really, really difficult love deceptions. The mediocre type of Virgo can be very critical, selfish, skeptical. But the superior type of Virgo, very altruistic, all giving, will take off their shirt just to make sure that somebody else is well dressed. And then we have the natives of Libra. Libra is house of Saturn and house of Venus. So here we see love, and here we also see the angel of death. Very interesting forces, particularly because the force of love, let's remember, Uriel brings love, but it also brings magnetism, affinity. Libra rules the kidneys, and those natives of Libra, they live very interesting lives because problems are always following them. They have this sense of justice, and because of their frankness and their sincerity, there are many Libras that still have a little bit more to learn in terms of applying some filter on how to say certain things. So because of that, problems follow them. They suffer tremendously in love, and life for them, fairly unstable. Samael says that the natives of Libra are usually misunderstood, and they are not interested in diplomacies. They need to see in their life that consistency. So those of you who interact with people of Libra, you have to be consistent. Consistent. None of this of trying to be nice today, less nice tomorrow, because that lack of consistency is just, it just adds to pepper situations. So they tend to find it difficult to forgive. Let us say this. They find it very difficult to forgive. Then we have the natives of Scorpio. Those born in Scorpio, they find themselves in a situation where they are either fully able to control their energies or not. So they can use those creative energies in ways that are remarkable, or they can be tremendous fornicaries. Not that the others in the other signs are not, but there's something about the natives of Scorpio. They tend to suffer a lot before they reach the age of 30. So they will go through a series of challenges in life, and those will subside around the age of 30, and from that point forward, depending on how well they navigate those waters, the life can be phenomenal. Scorpio rules the sexual organs, and of course this is a zodiac of water. They are energetic, they are very ambitious, they are sincere, and they are willing to make a lot of sacrifices. But let us tell you this, they need to fight the defect of anger. Because one thing about those natives of Scorpio is that to have them as enemies, dangerous, because they are very vengeful. They can be very dangerous to others and to themselves. So, eyes on Scorpio. Then we have Sagittarius. And Sagittarius is the house of Jupiter. They're either very generous or they are very mean. We know some good Sagittarius people in our life. They can be very mean. They can be very dangerous. Very, very generous. Stand corrected. Very dangerous. The altruist, the superior type of Sagittarius, is exceedingly generous. But it is generous with a good balance in mercy and justice. The inferior type tends to be very mean. So it's likely that you will see most people with some pendulum swing between their generousness and their meanness. Sagittarius rules the gluteus, the glutes and the femoral arteries. So those vibrations from Sagittarius at the level of the thighs, they tend to energize our blood, which is phenomenal. Natives of Sagittarius, they love adventures. They love to travel. We have some good friends of Sagittarius that they have been pretty much everywhere in the world. How do they do it? I still don't understand it, but always surprised with pictures from everywhere. It is amazing. The natives of Sagittarius are very easy to anger, but they are also very easy to give forgiveness. And typical of these beings is that when they seem that they have failed, it's like suddenly they are re-energized, and Samael says they re-emerge from the ashes like the phoenix. These people from Sagittarius, they are very intelligent and they can handle some very difficult and tough enterprises. Then we have the natives of Capricorn. Capricorn rules the knees and the skeletal structure. The currents from below, those currents that flow from the earth, they charge the knees with the lead of Saturn. One thing about the natives of Capricorn is that they're very melancholic. It is very easy for them to see the worst in things, the worst. And in life, they always have the experience of coming across their own Judas, the one person that betrays them. The natives of Capricorn, they have a real high moral responsibility. They have a good work ethic. They are very conscious and mindful about economy and money matters, and they tend to suffer tremendously in love. Just like the natives of Virgo, the natives of Capricorn go through a very tough love deception in life. Then we have the natives of Aquarius. Aquarius is an element of air. It's influenced by the element of air, and Aquarius rules the calves, house of Uranus and Saturn. And the natives of Aquarius, they are very independent. They have a very strong willpower, and they are very proficient in matters of science, in natural sciences, in medicine, in chemistry, in botany. They love science. They love wisdom, particularly occult wisdom. And the mediocre type of Aquarius tends to be a person that is very distrustful. They are always in problems, problematic. But the superior type is deep, concentrated, philanthropic, kind, loyal, and will know others by intuition. They will be able to see someone, immediately know the reason, the significance of that person at that moment in there. And they will be able to perceive danger pretty quick. And last, we have the natives of Pisces. Pisces is house of Neptune and Jupiter. And Pisces rules the feet. The natives of Pisces have a dual nature. And what that means is that they have the ability to carry or to handle two careers in their life. Wow, that is amazing. They tend to be misunderstood. Some people take them to be aloof, but listen. The natives of Pisces are misunderstood because they live their lives separated from all the dramas. Arguments and stuff may be happening around them, and you look at them, and they just shrug. They go like, they move on, you see? They are very intuitive. They are happy. They are peaceful people. Natives of Pisces, they are also some phenomenal people there. But the mediocre type of Pisces, lazy, negligent, indifferent. Very well. So this is what we wanted to share with you. Let's go ahead and close with the perfumes of each zodiac. A lot to go here. Take a snapshot of the screen. What you see here is the perfume of your zodiac. If you happen to be feeling sick, if you have a headache, if you need to relax, create a better environment for your meditation, find your perfume. Burn it. Enjoy it at those moments, and it will help bring healing, calmness, serenity. All right, dear friends, we sourced our material from Samael's work titled The Treatise on Hermetic Astrology. And with this, we bring an end to our two-part seminar on psychoastrology, the planets and the personality. To everyone, thank you so much for being here with us this evening. May all beings be happy. Have a good night.